Hello again there, folks. So I just wanted to make a quick video on this debate that's going around from Piers Morgan's kind of slop channel, where everybody just screams at each other and he riles everybody up and all of that. And of course, this gets into the atmosphere at the moment, which is just fever pitch, really. And I noticed that they brought on this Destiny, who I've always despised. I just cannot abide him, and I'm not going to play him on my channel either because he's got this kind of this incessant sort of babbling way of talking, where it just becomes this kind of noise. It's just like this. It isn't really coherent. It's just a babbling, prattling, gish galloping, I think they called it. So I'm not going to play the actual clip, but what I thought was interesting was that everything's at fever pitch, everybody's angry. You've got the killing of Charlie Kirk. Now I've got my own kind of theories on this, but you've got to be careful at the moment, which I wrote a little quick sort of Substack after it happened. But we'll see where all of this goes. But what I thought was interesting here was the setup of Piers Morgan, where he gets the right wingers on to scream and shout at the left wingers, and it's actually Anna Kasparian was like the left face, if you like, and she I can put up with her. But then when he introduces Destiny, it just becomes a screaming match. And I found it interesting to kind of dissect what was really going on here. And because if you kind of tease out amongst the sort of incessant babble of Destiny, what he's done is come in to the debate with a frame. So he knows that the murder of Charlie Kirk is being pinned on the left, on his team, if you like. As does Anna Kasparian, and she handled this a little bit differently. She was instantly disavowing him or any kind of violence. But Destiny came in, and he's like, kind of like, he wouldn't. And beyond that, his frame, he wanted to have the pieces on the chessboard set up in such a way that he had a get out. So he wasn't just sitting there like a sociopath saying that he was fine with murder, political murder and assassinations. It was that his sort of pitch was that he will not disavow the assassination of Charlie Kirk unless Donald Trump disavows all violence equally. And he dug in on this, and he dug on this like he would not budge from that position no matter what. And everybody pointed out at how stupid that was. And what you begin as the sort of the tension kind of increased, and he wouldn't budge on that, and all of the prattle. It becomes apparent that he doesn't actually have any kind of core there. And what I mean is, what I mean is that he doesn't really seem to have any moral core there at all. There's no foundation of goodness or what we would think of as being morality or anything. And it's there right in the framing of how he approached this debate. Because essentially, if he's going to say, I'm not going to disavow the assassination of Charlie Kirk, because my first of all, he just told a lie, and he said that his side didn't do it. Now, there's a deeper theory behind that, but we're going to park that to one side for the sake of this. And it's that he's not going to disavow his own side, and he's going to tell a lie and say, well, it wasn't even my side that did it. So he kind of does a Motton Bailey trick where he's saying, well, this kid from Utah is from a Christian family, he Republican parents and all of that. But then when that fails, he also won't disavow him as a leftist either. So you can see it's kind of like he'll tell a lie when he thinks he can get away with it, and then he'll go back to the idea that I'm not going to disavow this unless Donald Trump does it. But again, to the hollowness of this person, it's that he's actually, what he's really saying there is that he does not have agency. In other words, he doesn't have any kind of moral center whatsoever. What he has is sound bites and rhetoric. and nothing else. So it becomes this kind of chunting machine where he's gone into the debate with a certain way to frame it to make himself to put his argument across without there being any kind of moral center to it whatsoever. He's then kind of abnegated any idea that he has agency of his own and that he can kind of think and rationalize the world outside of other people's activities, in this case of Donald Trump. And so he can kind of say, it's as if he's saying, I do not have free will. I do not have agency. I exist only to react to what other people are doing and then use rhetoric to advance my own case. And it's that's a that's, I find that just a horrifying sort of way to be. I don't actually believe it wholeheartedly. I think he's a liar and a bullshitter and utterly repulsive. But even if we take him at his word and we say, okay, so he can't make decisions for himself. He can't sit there and say, well, this is wrong and this is right. It's dependent, it's contingent on what other people are saying, because everything has to be political. There is nothing outside of that. There's only a narrative which has to be sort of got on top of. And in this sort of way that the only thing you can do is react to external factors. You know, I'm a gardener, and it reminded me of a slug. A slug doesn't actually think. It isn't conscious of itself in that way. But a slug does know that if the ground is wet, it's easier to move across. If the ground is dry and brittle, the slug has a hard time of it. And so that is how it kind of navigates the world, of just reacting to these external factors. But there's nothing, there's no kind of core to the slug. It doesn't have a personality. It doesn't have any individuality. It doesn't have agency. All it does is react to what's around it. The beer traps smell nice to a slug, and so it'll crawl into the beer trap and drown because it's got no agency. It just follows its instincts. And it's similar, like with this sort of leftist, because Destiny's not the only one. You've got that Hassan Piker, there's Vaush and these other ones. And you find they're men who there doesn't seem to be any inner life or inner monologue. There's just rhetoric and frame games. And when you go out and you're dealing with actual death and murder, and questions of morality, it kind of falls apart on them. There's kind of nothing there. And it reminds me, I did Classic Movies just the other day, and we were talking about it's on the channel, and we were talking about serial killers and what constitutes evil. And I think the reason why so many people, like, it isn't just the kind of the babble and the prattle which comes at you like so fast you can hardly keep up with it. It's that there's something like fundamentally is just missing there. And when a good writer tries to create a thoroughly evil character, it isn't that you can think of somebody like the Emperor of Star Wars or something where he is just like evil incarnate, but more complex evil. That's not it. What it is when somebody has something missing. Evil is the absence of good. So when you begin to have a decent good character, and you begin taking key parts of his personality away, and you're left with something kind of odd, and a little bit off kilter, and a little bit uncanny valley. And the more you do that, the more evil reveals itself. So because the good is being taken away and all that's left is evil, this so it's a void, it's a moral void. And I can't help but think that this is actually what you see there, that it's just an absence of conscience, it's an absence of understanding what's right and wrong, and instead you just get this kind of frame game rat pat tat bullshit which is not tethered to anything other than himself and doesn't reference anything other than himself. And he has the problem. he has a very big audience. And when you look at, if we go with what we're being told about the murder of Charlie Kirk and the people who did it, what we see are these more of the same. And you think, wonder if this, like, he has a much bigger audience, that Destiny has a much bigger audience than I do. He has an audience on par with the biggest sort of right-wing channels, you know. And you think, is it that they are ideological, or is it that they are all just fundamentally missing something? Is it that they're all, he has an audience because there is an audience for psychos out there? That there is, if, like, maybe it's something that manifests itself at this particular era of civilization, where the reason why you have a sociopath with a big audience like that is because there are so many other sociopaths out there. And I think this is a big, big problem. And I think people are going to have to be honest about what this means for society, and what this means for the West. If you've got millions of people out there with a total, complete absence of any moral consciousness, this is bad news. Just a quick one there, folks. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you later.